Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Happy Wednesday, it's another hump day, and this is just another video game podcast. And I'm Ben Roy, joined here today with Josh Brown.
Hello, Ben Roy.
And Ash Millman.
Hello, Ben Roy.
And today we just want to do something a bit different, you know. We wanted to go over the video games that we've been playing, sort of like in this isolation period. And then also later on go into sort of how we're dealing with it. Now, we know that, like, we're in a fortunate position where our jobs can be done remotely. We can literally do it anywhere. I think Ash has done her job from a cupboard at one point. I didn't get out of bed until, say, 11 today. And, yeah, Brown, I think you've always been in that seat, so...
I haven't left this seat for 3 weeks, Ben Roy.
Yeah. But, yeah, we just wanted to just try, like, give a light into how we're sort of dealing with it, and we wanted to know... from you on Twitter as well after this episode at the hashtag WCGP, just to find out how you're dealing with all this and sort of like what games are you playing during this period of a time when we haven't really seen this before and we have to all just stay inside. And I would just like to say at this point, thank God for video games at this moment. How about you two?
Genuinely, right? Because this is kind of why I wanted to be on this podcast, because like when obviously this all kicked off and we realized we were going to have to be, you know, in our homes for the foreseeable future, there was part of me that thought, well, you know what? It might not be too hard on me personally because I can watch a lot of movies, I can watch a lot of TV. But then I found myself every single night after work just kind of stumped and kind of, you know, in stasis because I didn't want to do any of that stuff because my mind couldn't be taken off current events, with the exception for video games. Like, that's genuinely been the thing that I've been using to take my mind off everything that's happening and have some sort of distraction, because although it is important to be clued in about what's going on, it's also important to be, you know, breaking from that, because it's not good on your mental health to be worrying and being anxious about it. But it's hard to switch off, because especially when you're in the house and there's nothing else to do. And for me personally, man, video games have come up trumps, and I have been absolutely hammering away at a bunch of different titles, and I'm so thankful for them because they have been there in a way that other media just hasn't over the past few weeks.
No, I'd absolutely agree. Like, definitely with video games have been just a big distraction. There's something you can go into and just have it as like a separate world that you don't have to engage with this one, where it's quite scary and horrible, and do something else for a bit, which is a nice reliever and a privileged reliever for this sort of thing, definitely.
Now, it's in a weird way, like you two are more of a, like, you go out a lot more, like you spend time with more friends. Like, say with me, I moved up here, say, like 2 and a bit years ago. So all my sort of like closest friends are so far away down the other end of the country. So it's kind of been sort of business as usual for me, but in a weird way, like, not only do I play a lot of like multiplayer stuff socially as it is, like, that's why I got so into like the battle royale genre and things like that. But this sort of like nice thing just to hang out with my friends again has become such a crucial point, and we've like upped the amount of days we do it, because it's just weird, man, like not getting to, as much as I'm like, I like to stay at home and blah, 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 it's weird just not going to the shops and just walking past people and realizing, yeah, there's humans around, or my neighbor downstairs who, you know, has a bit of the reefer every now and then, as he tends to do. I have to close the window because you can just smell it. I don't want to say too loud because he's below me right now, but yeah,
he's,
it's just weird.
Heard that.
It's just weird not to get these usual kinks that we all get. So I just wanted to check in with you guys. Like, Josh first, what have you been actually playing to get past this?
It's funny you should mention that, you know, you keep in touch with a lot of your friends who, that you've moved away from through, like, multiplayer games. And I've rediscovered that over the past few months, because I used to play with, like, a group of pals quite often. And then for the past 6-7 months, it's just been hard to find the time with everything that's going on. But I've since, you know, since we've got no choice, I've got more time in my hands, I've returned to, you know, playing games with them. And it's been lovely to, you know, just get back in touch with them, you know, keep up to date with them, make sure they're all right, you know, have that social circle through video games. So we've been playing a lot of Call of Duty Warzone, you know, as often as we can. And that's been like, it's something I forgot I missed, because I'm usually such a single player focused, you know, player. And I love, you know, big RPGs and big story driven games. I forget how much I also love not just the multiplayer games, but what you can get from them socially, like keeping up to date with people and just, you know, because I don't like messaging. I'm crap at texting back, and I'm crap at
You very much are.
I'm a complete liability because it stresses me out a little bit, but like being in the PlayStation 4 party chat is a good way to, you know, remedy that a little bit. So I've been playing a lot of Call of Duty Warzone, I've been playing a lot of Doom, which we all have, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, and I've been playing Doom 3. I don't know why, but I wanted to rebuy Doom 3, so I've been playing that. That's been my single player game at the moment.
How about you, Ash? What have you been sort of like delving into in these times of isolation?
Oh, my main one has just been eking as much out of Doom Eternal as I possibly can, like trying to get all the collectibles, going back and doing levels at different difficulties and stuff. Like, I still haven't finished it because I'm just stretching out every encounter with it as long as I can and try and do like a chapter in an evening and then go back and do some other stuff in it, and then the next day have a little go at the next part. Which has been really, really nice, because at least it's kind of opened me up to the Souls way of playing, where you go back and do things and try again, do trial and error over and over again. So I've got a new appreciation for people who absolutely bash Dark Souls and Sekiro and all that sort of thing, because I get it a bit more now. I've got the time to go back and do it and feel like I'm not like wasting an evening or whatever, where I could be doing this out of the other. And all I have is either TV or consoles. It's definitely been a really nice way of getting a bit more out of video games than I usually would, and milking them dry.
Milking the content dry.
Absolutely. I also have set up a tent on an island in Animal Crossing. So that has been wonderful. Just picking berries and digging holes. That's been great.
Getting those bells in. I've been doing Doom as well. I was kind of grateful to be done with it, not going to lie. It wasn't not my time to shoot now. Scott Telford is somewhere sleeping. It was yes.
Sorry, Ben. I was going to say maybe it is the time to shoot, because it's an interesting thing. I don't think we've talked about it. Correct me if I'm wrong on any podcast or video, but there has been a clear division in the office, or at least this virtual office, between the people who love Doom Eternal and people who think Doom 2016 is better. So maybe we could dive into that.
We did have a podcast on the first reaction for Doom Eternal and 2016, and I absolutely heralded 2016 as the champion, the one that should be the winner. Like, absolutely. But yeah, I still love 2016. Even playing Eternal more, 2016 is definitely the best one out of the two for me, and I prefer it. But that doesn't mean Eternal doesn't have a load of great gameplay and interesting things that they've added to it and changes they've made with the arcade system and all that sort of thing.
For me, Eternal, it takes what was pretty much a perfect shooter and then they cram things into it. Like, I really appreciate, let's turn this into like combat chess. Let's give every single thing, rather than just the pinky, that specific weakness. Let's add wall climbing for some reason. The just any sort of platforming in this game, every time I see it, I just want to, first of all, I want to throw up because I hate it. And that second to last level before you fight the big, the boss, I'll just say the boss. Oh, there was a section where I did the one bit over and over again. Like, I'm launching through this, going through 17 rings, then grabbing this. And then, this red light's going to go on, so I've got to jump. And it just wasn't good, man. But for me, it's weird. Like, I really appreciate, the combat chess, but I don't, every time I see like a pinky, I'm pulling out my shotgun with the grenade launcher on it, because the grenade on your shoulder is pretty crap. And also just because I have to do it, I can't kill the cacodemon, sorry, any other way, because I'm just so focused. Like, I have to shoot the cannon off the spider thing. I have to shoot the other little cannons off the other dudes. Don't remember all their names, I'm sorry. But I get locked into that way for one. I'm so obsessed over breaking them down that it becomes a weird sort of like slug. And also that guy, the marauder with the shield and the ghost dog, just Just go get in a hole and die slowly.
The Marauder's definitely going in every single What Culture Gaming list on bad villains or bad guys in games for the next 5 years. Like, if he's not a thumbnail within the next month, something's gone terribly wrong.
He blocks the BFG and the lightsaber. What's the point? He blocks everything. He's like, no, you're going to chess around me. I hate you.
You know what, right? Every single time he turned up, I quite enjoyed the challenge, like, in a masochistic way. But it is kind of BS that they artificially force it on you by making him impervious to those, you know, the super weapons and stuff. You can't just brute force your way through or save up your ammo. You've got to fight him properly. And that can be good, but also, man, it can be so frustrating.
And that's what the, like, one-ups are made for, the extra lives, like, 100% just on Marauders endlessly. But yeah, no, I definitely prefer 2016 for these reasons. Like, I just think thematically in the world-building in the first one, where it's a lot more claustrophobic and you're pulling weapons out of people's bodies rather than finding big green floating globs of whatever the crap they are, I think that was a much better way of doing it and felt more doomy to me, whereas this is very, like, okay, go and have some fun with some shooting, fellas.
Well, it's been interesting to see you guys talk about it, because I haven't played Doom 2016 since 2016, outside of, I think, a one-off stream with Rich about 2 years ago. So I don't really have, like, the fresh context for it, but I want to go back and, you know, directly put it up against Eternal, because I love Eternal and I love 2016, but I might appreciate the differences, the subtle differences in the combat and the lore and, you know, even like the pickups a bit more if I go back to it. So that's the plan at the moment.
Before I talk about something else I've been playing, Brown, I want to hear how Doom 3 compares to Doom Eternal, because I've only ever stepped into Doom 3 and I've always wanted to get, like, the new edition was like a couple of pounds on the store, but I just want to know how it, like, holds up.
Well, you know what? Doom 3, I've always had a soft spot for it. I've always wanted to revisit it, and it's taken until Doom Eternal to give me the Doom itch back. And I've gone back and played it. I bought it on the PlayStation 4. And, like, it holds up really well. It still looks lush. Like, the lighting tech in that game at the time was a revolution. And because of that, they went down a more horror-focused route. So it's quite a scary game. I've done big jumps while playing it, much to the chagrin of my girlfriend who's sitting next to me all the time. But, like, it's good. It's a different type of Doom. It's really enjoyable to play. A lot of the weapons are really enjoyable to use, but it's much, much slower, especially coming straight from Eternal. It feels like everything's done through mud. Even reloading weapons takes an absolute age. And I will say, for as much as I love it, it has the worst shotgun in video game history. It's just absolutely terrible, terrible stuff. Plasma gun, sick. Shotgun, sick, but in a bad way, the bomb that comes out your mouth.
Oh.
It's hard to believe it's worse than that double-barreled shotgun that wastes ammo in Doom Eternal.
But, you can shut up for one, Ben.
Talking about games with great shotguns, I've been playing Resident Evil 3 for the past, like, week and a half.
Very nice.
It's just... Yeah, it's not perfect. It's not going to be that horror masterpiece that you had that was Resident Evil 2 last year, but it is the sort of perfect rendition of Resident Evil in an action setting. As I said, like, on Monday with Jules and Scott, like, this game is just... Sure, it's about a kind of mini-apocalypse happening, which is like, oh, I don't know, I want that right now. But being chased by big old Nemi has made me forget about everything in the world. And all I now want to think about is stars.
I'm looking forward to it because I've been... I didn't listen or watch anything about it outside of the reveal trailer until recently, since, like, you've been talking about it, Jules has been talking about it. And I'm going to get it on Friday after work. I'm going to preload it or whatever. And I'm looking forward to it. I like that it's going to be a sort of bite-sized thing that I can play in one or two goes and just have a good time with. I like that, you know, during this period, we've got seemingly every week or every other week a big game to look forward to, which has been nice.
There's a mechanic in there to eat your greens, so that makes it obviously one of the best games of the year.
No, I'm excited for Resident Evil 3. It'd be good. I'm excited for it. I think the changes from Resident Evil 2, I think, are a good thing as well, because making the same thing over and over again, whilst good and would like more of Resident Evil 2, I think it's nice that they have a little experiment with it and come back with some new different things that they know they can do well.
It's kind of relieving as well that you can just use weapons and not think, oh, I've got to save this for later sort of thing. Although hunters, though, they're just, ugh. That's my take on hunters.
Yeah, I'm just excited for a more action focus, because as much as I didn't really necessarily need more action in Resident Evil 2, I wouldn't change that for the world. The mechanics were so satisfying that if there was a mercenaries mode, I would have played it for hours. just doing one combat encounter after the rest. So I'm here for a short action burst of Resi goodness this Friday.
Good. Have any of you also been intrigued by the Control DLC?
Ooh,
yes.
I still need to work my way through Control. It's one of those ones that's been big and high on my list for ages, and I still haven't managed to actually play it properly. So I need to get onto that properly and then do the DLC straight after, I think. It's going to be one of those ones that I do, because it's had its new thing uploaded, I'll go back and do the old thing. Like Doom, I went and played 2016, because I was like, oh, well, Eternal's coming out, I'll go play 2016, and absolutely loved it. So I'm ready for Control to deliver me this DLC that makes me go play the whole game.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Properly and have a lovely time.
It's on sale this week, I think, on PSN, so I'll jump in there before it's back to full price. But it's been so nice to jump back into that sort of, I say that world, that nice world of just, you know, a drib office block that's concrete everywhere and sort of thing. But I've been sort of eking out, like playing it 1 hour, 2 hours here, and for the most part I'm just really enjoying going back into that like environment. As I just said, the combat seems to be a bit more, it's harder. Like I forget that your health doesn't regenerate. You have to kill enemies to sort of get the health back. And there's been one or two sort of like big men with like big Gatling guns that have just sort of been like, oh, I'm just dead now. And we all, I think you've heard about it, Ash, but we all know like the ashtray maze from the main game. It's like, it was a stand-up moment, and the music in there was excellent. I've come to sort of a similar point in this game. I won't say any more than that, but the nearest sort of a spawn point, as you will, is like a 2-minute walk to it. And if you die in it, you have to go back to that spawn point, walk to it, then activate it, then sit through another minute before the sequence rolls up.
That's a cardinal sin.
Yeah, and I said out loud, F are you doing here, Sam? Like, come on. Like, and so I tried 5 times and I kept dying, because it's just, you're very limited in what you can do. And yeah, it was just meh, dead. And I turned it off. But still thumbs up from me, I guess, in this. It's still a good DLC so far.
I'm going to save that for a rainy day, I think. Because we've got Resi this week and I'm still playing Animal Crossing and I've got Final Fantasy coming out, I'm going to save the Control DLC for when I have a vacant weekend. And I can just smash through it, because I bloody love that first game. I think you will as well, Ash. You should definitely play it.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. It seems very up my street. It's just one of those ones I've been like, oh, don't have the time, I'm doing other stuff. And now here is the time. It's been gifted to me. So I'll bash it out one of the weekends, I think.
I think it'll be properly like your thing as well. So totally recommend it. Should we go on to like things outside of video games, how we've been sort of dealing with this sort of
Yeah, come on then, because I haven't had a catch-up with you guys in a while, actually, to be fair.
Lovely little pod catch-up.
Sorry, I was going to say, I feel like mine's going to be a bit boring, so I would want to hear from one of you two first.
Well, I think we're all probably in the same boat in one way or another. No, it's been interesting, like, because outside of work, I find like I've been doing a lot of work and then playing a lot of video games and then just sleeping. I feel like, you know, I need some kind of routine or something. I've been looking at buying yoga mats. I've been trying to get one, because if I get a yoga mat or something ridiculously expensive like that, I will do some exercise, because although I can occasionally take the one government mandated walk a day, that's about all I'm doing, and it's making me very, very tired.
Oh, Josh, I can tell you for a fact, you'll get that yoga mat and you'll use it to put your feet up on, because I had the same idea. I had this same idea, and it wasn't a yoga mat that enticed me, but a skipping rope. So I bought a skipping rope to try and do some exercise on my government state mandated one walk a day, because I live near a park. So I thought, oh, that'd be fine. I can go to the park, do my skip, come back. But you know what? I spent £17 on a skipping rope. 17 whole English pounds for a skipping rope that definitely, like, I could have got one for £1 or £2. I was like, no, I'll get the expensive, proper speed skipping, wonderful skipping rope that does all the bells and jingles, and you spin around with it and you do all sorts of tricks, because I'm going to learn this so well and do so much skipping and have such a great time with it. And I can tell you, in the amount of time I've had it, I have not used it once. I did one practice skip when it came in the post, and then just chucked it under the bed and was like, yeah, I'll do that. I'll use that as my routine. I'll go and do that every day. And just, I thought, I'll do it tomorrow. It hasn't happened yet. So there you go. Buy the yoga mats, but they're not going to be used for yoga. So.
Right. Like, this is what everyone keeps telling me. I was talking to Benji about this, and he said, Josh, you can get a yoga mat for about £5 down Aldi. And I said, well, Ben, the problem with that is I can't get to Aldi, Ben. But maybe you're right. Maybe I will get it and then not use it. But I don't know. I feel like, I don't know about you guys, but I feel a bit conflicted, because part of me is like, right, come on, you've got all this time. Do something to take your mind off it. You know, learn something, start cooking, you know, do something productive. And that's part of me thinking that. But at the same time, it's sort of like, it's so overwhelming, like, what's happening and stuff. And again, want to reiterate that we're extremely very lucky and quite privileged. But even then, it's just sort of, I think I'll get a routine eventually. But for these first few weeks, it's just been sort of, you know, trying to stay positive and get through.
Well, as someone who also owns a yoga mat, it's not left the cupboard in about a year. And which is bad, because the cupboard's in my bedroom. I have to walk past it, but the thing is, the for some reason the boiler is in the cupboard, which is in my bedroom. Really poorly designed place. And yeah, I've been thinking about running, but before this pandemic happened, injured my ribs in a bouncy castle wrestling match where someone came in.
Of course,
and
you did.
It kind of fractured my rib, but it's all there now, sort of fine. But then I was really craving sort of like the sweet stuff. So I bought cheesecake. I was like, you know, sorry, isn't it? I just left there. I was like, oh, I really want some now. So I ate it before it defrosted, a bit of it. And then that made me have tummy troubles for the past weekend.
Oh.
So I was curled up in a ball trying to play Predator Hunting Grounds while like, oh, I'm dying. Oh. And, you know, whenever you feel slightly any sort of unwell, you're like, oh God, what's the matter with me? What's the matter with me? Am I okay? But yeah, so I've just been recovering from the rib thing, then the stomach ache, and now this week I'm not really feeling it. So I'm going to try and do my mandated 1 hour, like, outside next week, / running.
Oh, Benroy, that's horrible. I'm sorry. I laughed at the beginning because I thought you were telling a funny story about going on a bouncy castle, and now you're saying you broke your rib and then I've been cracking yourself straight for a weekend. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Benroy, I love that. I love this narrative. Well, I don't love it. I feel very sorry for you, and I hope you're okay. But I like that every single time you've tried to improve your life this year by, you know, doing more exercise or doing something nice, the world has rebounded it back literally into your ribs. You know, kicked you while you were down.
Or that time that I just was watching The Force Awakens. So I don't feel well, and then I was just sick from 11 at night until 11 in the morning.
Jeez.
That was great. That was a nice Sunday evening. I really like that one.
No.
But other things, I try and do some creative writing on the side that I chip into every now and then. But apart from that, I've been doing probably what a lot of us do, is watching Netflix. I mean, obviously there's the wine that I like is back in Stocky Morrison, so that's a good thing. But
very nice.
I know that I've been watching something that I know Ash has watched and you've just started, which is a little show called Tiger King.
Yes.
And I think we can talk about that a bit on here, because why not? It's how we've been dealing with the world. So, Josh, as someone who's only watched a few episodes, what do you think of the show so far?
Well, literally one episode in, I'm watching it because everyone at work won't shut up about it, including you two, who are saying it's the maddest stuff ever. And I love that every single time a new Netflix show like this comes around, it becomes like a proper, you know, cultural phenomenon. On the one hand, I've got Animal Crossing and Animal Crossing memes. And on the other hand, I've got Tiger King and Tiger King memes. And it's very interesting, I'll give you that. I'm sure it's going to get madder. But yeah, the first episode, I had a good laugh. I will say this. The personalities in it are all mad, and I think they could all justify their own show, you know, their own 10-part series or whatever.
It gets so much better. The animals give and the animals take away, Josh. The animals take away. The Tiger King takes away. It will take your life from you. Every episode has like a cliffhanger where you're like, what? What's happened now? It's so good.
Every time a music video happens, man, I'm gone again. Like, I keep thinking if I'm getting a bit bored, or if I feel like it's not going anywhere, they'll hit me with something ragged, like a music video or a clip from his TV show. And I'm at the moment, I don't know who's bad and who's good, or, you know, what twist it's going to take. So every single thing I'm laughing at, I kind of feel guilty about afterwards, because I think, ooh, should I have laughed? Is this going to take a dark turn? I'm not sure.
Joe Exotic is there for us in this time of need, and he is one of the most peculiar people I've ever seen on my screen. I don't know why he exists. I don't know how he existed for how long this time period that this documentary takes over the place. I don't know how any of this is ever allowed to ensue, but then America is a big country. Like, I just don't know. I don't know how you have... It's 4 billion tigers in like the space of a football field, it feels like, and people just come and visit, and then he's also a YouTube sensation. It's weird. Also, he did some wrestling commentary for a bit, and he hosted some wrestling shows that I found about. Yep,
that's brilliant.
It's just wrestling's everywhere.
Well, that's it. Like only one episode in, but I kept thinking, you know, is there anything he hasn't done? Because I feel like he pops up everywhere, and it's very, very funny when he does. But no, I love stuff like Tiger King, or like I said, Animal Crossing, where, you know, like sometimes I don't like social media, and I think it's a bit overwhelming. I know that sound like a cliche, terrible, you know, hipster by saying that, but I've been really loving the past few days to take my mind off everything, you know, going on, just watching everyone talking about one or two things, and, you know, seeing the creative things they come up with, whether it's just, you know, a silly meme or whatever. And it's been, I don't know, I like that when something like this drops, when a piece of media like this drops, you know, collectively we all kind of, you know, swarm to it and then make it bigger than what it might have been otherwise. You know, I think there's something genuinely quite special in that I've really come to appreciate over the past couple of weeks.
This is like our bit of community that we all have going together for the Tiger King. No, it's such a good little, it's a good little thing to see coming up on social. Like, again, I know you're saying you're not a fan of it, but like seeing it come up so much and having all these different things about it and all these new secrets that get uncovered because people have the time to go and look for it. It's just, it's been the most like informatively, strangely informatively like time period piece. It's blown my mind. It's so good, and it's nice that everyone's come together to watch it and go, wow, look how weird this is.
And even Big Louie went there for an episode of Blue Through, so, you know, like, everyone's been there.
It's been absolutely doing my head in for the past 24 hours watching that first episode. And it's not Joe Exotic, it's the other guy. I can't remember what he's called, but his face is so familiar and I've seen it somewhere, which makes sense because he's been on like a lot of different shows and stuff. But I can't pinpoint exactly where I've seen it before. It's really doing my head in.
The Undertaker posted pictures on Instagram with one of the guys of that show like a week or two before that show hit Netflix. I'm like, what the hell?
Britney Spears has been with one of the people off it, has sat next to Britney Spears at one of her big shows.
I just don't understand. I don't understand people's fascination with tigers, man. Like, you know, just why don't we just sit inside that staring at our screens forever? That's probably better, right?
I don't know. Do we have that in the UK at all? Like, because in my naivety, I didn't even think that was legal in the US. So I've been finding it quite informative as much as I have funny. But I didn't know that was a thing for one. I didn't know it was legal or allowed. So maybe that's been happening in the UK as well. We've just never noticed it.
I mean, I've been to big zoos over here, but I don't think you can just start a zoo in a field like he did.
Yeah, you can't just buy one, you know?
You think that they, like, the UK would have set that law maybe hundreds of years ago rather than, you know, just letting it go by?
I guess we're a lot smaller, so there's not many places you can hide a tiger without people knowing about it because there's not much land for them to be on. But yeah, we're just a lot smaller, aren't we, really? So I guess you'd see different things like that.
That's a good point, to be fair.
From tigers to Twitter questions, there are no Twitter questions because we seem to have run dry. We did a big Twitter question roundup the other week, so if you want to ask us any questions, it is the hashtag WCGP. And yeah, I just thought one more time we should all say that we hope you're all doing well and We hope that this podcast, three times a week, is giving you something to sort of like help you get through your week. I know the pods that I listen to are doing the same. And yeah, we just wanted to do this sort of like nice thing for you. And thanks to Big Money Brown Money for being sort of the architect behind this all this.
Thank you for dropping that nickname on here. Officially, it's canon now.
I just had to do that sort of thing. Any last words from you two before we end?
Just the usual, hope everyone's staying safe and well and doing good and keeping sane in this whole time, because it is a bit of a weird one. But yeah, hope the podcasts are helping and all that sort of thing as well. Just stay good, or as good as you can. So yeah. I'm doing a thumbs up, like stay good, but I remembered that it's just my voice, so thumbs up in my voice.
Ash did a big thumbs up on camera. It was very, 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 very lovely. But yeah, I reiterate all the same things. We're doing a live stream on Thursday night. You might have passed by the time you're listening to this, but if you want to check that out, that would be awesome as well, at 5:30 BST.
Great. Sorry, I thought he was going to finish that a bit later. That's why I took a drink of water. But anyway, this has been the What Culture Gaming podcast. You can follow us at W Culture Gaming. I got it right this time. And you can follow Josh Brown at
Josh Broom with two O's.
You can follow Ash Millman at
Ash Millman.
Ooh, and you can follow me at Ben Roy Turner. And that is everything for today. So goodbye.
See you all.
Goodbye. Bye.
Bye, Resident Evil 3 Remake.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.